to accept a lawful job with the excuse that this is an ordinary job and it does not befit my or his position or rank. Many other people who have become wealthy whereas they were poor at the beginning of their lives, and many other people who have become presidents or high chiefs whereas their beginnings were simple. And number 7, creativity is a quality of successful people. Let the youth try to create jobs by which they will be prosperous and live well. And the last one, thinking, reading, activeness, joyful spirit, optimism, satisfaction, supplication and praying are among the main qualities that prepare for opportunities of work, and then free time will be occupied and idleness will be treated, inshallah. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
French inflation is picking up pace. According to official data, food and energy are the main contributors to rising prices in France. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to the website of RT, inflation in France accelerated in April, driven by a surge in energy prices. Data published by the National Statistics Bureau, INSEE, showed consumer prices rose by 5.9% last month on an annual basis, up from 5.7% in March. The new figures has revealed energy price growth soared to 6.8% in April after a 4.9% increase in March, mainly due to rising fuel costs. Meanwhile, the increase in gas prices eased from the March reading of 35.6%, coming in at 22.9% higher year-on-year in April. Food prices climbed 15% year-on-year, slightly lower than the March reading of 15.9%. The downtick was attributable to a seasonal decline in the prices of fresh goods. However, despite this lower pace of price growth, INSEE economists said soaring food costs have had a more significant impact on overall inflation than rising energy costs. Also, a recent survey by market research firm Ilabe showed that 43% of French consumers have cut back on buying certain food items due to inflation. Among those surveyed, 43% reported having cut down on meat, 34% were buying less fish, and 27% had given up cakes and biscuits. According to the survey, most French consumers have had to adjust their shopping habits, with 44% opting for cheaper food and 30% now buying smaller quantities. French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said in March that he expected inflation to peak this summer and then start to ease. Bank of France Governor François Villori de Gallo acknowledged that inflation across the Eurozone remains too high and continues to be the main concern and top priority for monetary policy. In March, the French authorities introduced a so-called anti-inflation food basket, comprising about 50 basic items, and obliged large retailers not to hike prices on these staples until June. Meanwhile, according to recent reports, the French government is planning to increase enforcement of taxation controls and to toughen penalties for tax evasions, with a fresh focus on combating major fraud, according to the Minister of Public Action and Accounts, Gabriel Attal. The minister noted that the number of inspections of the country's biggest businesses would be increased by 25% by the end of the second presidential term of Emmanuel Macron in 2027. According to Attal, the efforts would be focused on the high end of the spectrum, on the biggest scams, the most complex ones, those that often have international involvement. If you are planning to pile pressure on the super rich and the multinationals, thus alleviating the pressure on the middle classes and small business owners, he told France Interradio recently, adding, there is an overwhelming majority of French who work and pay taxes who are victims of this fraud. Attal also highlighted the necessity to alleviate the pressure on the small taxpayers by simplifying the system of declaration and by establishing an automatic penalty waiver for the first error. He also pledged to create an automatic reverse of penalty in favor of a taxpayer in the event of an error by the government. As part of the plan, the country's authorities are expected to conduct tax audits of the 100 largest companies on the stock market every other year, as no specific frequency of such inspections has been established for French corporate majors. The ministry is planning to hire 1,500 additional employees to carry out the more numerous tax audits by 2027. Moreover, a new tax intelligence service is to be set up under the Ministry of Economy and Finance, with 100 elite agents to be hired in the fight against major tax fraud at international level. According to the latest data provided by French authorities, anti-tax fraud measures have helped to claim a return of 14.6 billion euros, almost $16 billion to the Treasury, an increase of 8.2% compared to 2021.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Shock and desperation. Children traumatized. Mothers losing their children. Israel claims it is not targeting civilians, but the injured and the dead tell another story. Like dead Palestinian girl carried by her father. With over 100 wounded, how many times will Israel kill civilians like women and children, yet claim it is targeting resistance fighters and leaders? When is it enough?
Are you ready to say enough is enough? As the highest authority responsible for the maintenance of international peace and security?
As of Saturday, May 13, Israel has so far assassinated 6 Islamic Jihad leaders, and it has stated it is after more blood. The killing machine has no mercy. One bombing operation involved 40 aircrafts and drones, courtesy of the United States. The incessant sound of drones creates a constant state of terror, panic, and anxiety among the 2 million people living in the Gaza Strip. Al-Mizan, a human rights group based in Gaza, notes that between the years 2000 and 2023, at least 2,148 Palestinians, including 378 children and 86 women, were killed by Israeli drones. Nearly 350 were killed inside their homes, including more than 100 children, underscoring the reality that there is no safe place in Gaza. And these are conservative figures. Resistance groups in the Gaza Strip have not stood idle. Palestinian factions like the Islamic Jihad said they are united in their joint response. Resistance factions have been relentless in their rocket attacks. Many have reached as far as Tel Aviv or close to it, like this town, which claimed the life of one Israeli, injuring 5 others. Israel getting a taste of its own medicine. As a matter of fact, the resistance group's firepower has overwhelmed Israel's so-called Iron Dome system. In one tally, more than 500 rockets were fired at Israel. Of these, 368 rockets made it over the border, and 154 were intercepted by the so-called Iron Dome missile defense system. Simple math shows that this dome had a 30% success rate. And Israel better be careful. Reports indicate it has so far only hit Islamic Jihad targets. Israel knows that Palestinian resistance groups are believed to be capable of firing thousands of rockets, which could quickly exhaust Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system. On top of that, Israel is unable to sustain prolonged disruption to its civilian economy amid widespread fear and panic among its population. Israel is now at its weakest. Regionally, it is isolated more than ever. Iran and Saudi Arabia's reconciliation have solidified the axis of resistance, especially after Saudi Arabia hosted Hamas recently and is warming up to Hezbollah. And from within, Israel is unraveling due to the revolt by Israelis against the judicial reforms. Protests now in its 4th month. There's growing consensus that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu launched the assault on Gaza to appease his fractious, extreme coalition, particularly Itamar Ben-Gvir, in order to distract from the protests. Yet Netanyahu may be risking it all when the Tel Aviv skyline is filled with too many rockets, that would rain down and eliminate its presence on Palestinian land. The U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen urged Congress to raise the $31.4 trillion debt limit and avert an unprecedented default, saying that a failure to do so would have dire consequences. Yellen's comments come after she warned of an economic catastrophe if the U.S. fails to raise its debt ceiling in the coming weeks. She has also previously warned that the U.S. could fail to meet its debt obligations sooner than expected, and it may run out of measures as early as June 1. Yellen issued the latest in a series of increasingly stark warnings in remarks prepared for a press conference meeting in Japan with her counterparts from the group of seven G7 rich nations, as well as India, Indonesia, and Brazil. Yellen's comments came as a political stalemate over raising the debt limit was forcing the Treasury Department dangerously close to worst-case scenario, which is a potential U.S. debt default.
The notion of defaulting on our debt is something that would so badly undermine the U.S. and global economy that I think it should be regarded by everyone as unthinkable.
In order to avoid a default on the nation's debt, Congress must vote to either raise or suspend the debt limit before the Treasury runs out of emergency funding. But with only days left this month, time is running out to reach a deal. Democratic leaders are calling for the limit to be raised, but Republicans want spending cuts and other conditions to be agreed first. The last time this happened, the U.S. saw its credit rating downgraded and interest rates on its existing debt go up. Even if the nation avoids tumbling over the fiscal cliff, the U.S. economy could suffer.
They're doing the best, to the best of my knowledge, what no other political party has done in the nation's history. They're literally, not figuratively, holding the economy hostage by threatening to default on our nation's debt that we've already incurred.
The debt ceiling is the maximum amount the U.S. government is legally authorized to borrow to meet its obligations. Many investors are bracing for the economic fallout of the deadline for the U.S. to raise the debt ceiling or default on its obligations. The U.S. government has run a deficit averaging nearly $1 trillion every year since the year 2001, meaning that it spends that much more money than it receives in taxes and other revenues.
Congress has told Treasury, you should pay our bills, you should pay our debt. But at the same time, it's told it, you can't borrow anymore to pay those bills and debt. And at the same time, Congress has authorized all of the spending that's being done. So the spending's going out the door. The bills are showing up at Treasury, and Treasury isn't getting enough revenue from taxpayers to pay the bills. And so there's a lot of hand-wringing over what Treasury should do.
Even short of a default, hitting the debt ceiling would stop the government's ability to finance its operations, including providing for the national defense or funding entitlements such as Medicare or Social Security. The default could cause the loss of 3 million jobs, add $130,000 to the cost of an average 30-year mortgage, and raise interest rates enough to increase the national debt by $850 billion. Meanwhile, the recent turmoil in the banking industry have concerned investors. In early May, officials closed San Francisco-based First Republic Bank, making it the third U.S. bank to collapse in the past 2 months. Most of First Republic's assets are being acquired by J.P. Morgan, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank, whose clients were mostly from the tech industry, collapsed in March under similar circumstances. But they are not alone. The U.S. Federal Reserve has revealed that 722 banks reported unrealized losses exceeding 50% of their capital at the end of the third quarter of 2022. Those losses have occurred because banks bought lots of treasuries and bonds when interest rates were near zero. Now, as the Federal Reserve raises rates to combat inflation, the value of these bonds has declined.
Israel has kept pounding the Gaza Strip, targeting areas in the southern part of the besieged Palestinian territory. It came after the Israeli military conducted airstrikes against the Gaza Strip, assassinating senior Islamic Jihad officials.
The Israeli occupation committed a great crime and treacherous aggression against our people in the Gaza Strip by bombing residential areas and homes, which led to the killing of children and women and targeted the leaders of the resistance. Our people and the resistance know how to respond to this great crime and make the occupation pay the price for this aggression on the Gaza Strip.
Palestinian resistance groups in Gaza have fired rockets towards Israeli sites in retaliation for the regime's deadly air raids, hitting targets as far as Tel Aviv. Gaza's Joint Command of Palestinian Resistance Groups claimed responsibility for firing rockets at Israel, saying in a statement it had fired hundreds of rockets towards the occupied Palestinian territories, including Tel Aviv, in an operation codenamed Revenge of the Free. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh has warned that Israel will pay the price for the killings. The Palestinian resistance group Lion's Den has warned the Tel Aviv regime of surprise and unprecedented retaliatory attacks after the assassination of high-profile resistance commanders in Israeli airstrikes. Iran, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, amongst many Muslim countries, and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, condemned in separate statements the Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. High-profile commanders of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance movement have been assassinated after Israeli military aircraft launched a series of targeted strikes on the Gaza Strip days after a fiery flare-up of violence set the besieged coastal area on edge. Alongside the assassinations, military compounds and a military position belonging to the Islamic Jihad were targeted as well. The Islamic Jihad resistance commanders in the strikes include Khalil Bahitini, the commander of the Al-Quds Brigades in the northern Gaza Strip, Tariq Izzeddin, a spokesperson for the movement, and Jihad Al-Ghannam, secretary of the movement's military council. Bahitini was the most senior operational commander in the Islamic Jihad and was responsible for the rocket fire towards occupied territories in the past month. Izzeddin was responsible for the communications between the movement and its branches in the West Bank and for transferring funds and coordinating resistance active in the occupied lands. Ghannam was one of the most senior and veteran operatives in Islamic Jihad and served at one point as the commander of the Al-Quds Brigades in the southern Gaza Strip.
This enemy is a criminal entity ever since it was created on the land of Palestine. It assassinated leaders in their homes with their families and children. They did not assassinate them in the battlefield, not in the streets or cars. They assassinated them while they were with their children and killed their children and women along with them.
Meanwhile, Israeli troops have shot dead two young Palestinian men during a military raid in the occupied West Bank city of Kabatia, the latest in a year-long spike of violence that shows no sign of abating. The Israeli military said it conducted a raid in the early hours of Wednesday on Kabatia, situated 6 kilometers south of Jenin. The Palestinian Ministry of Health identified the victims as 19-year-old Ahmed Jamal Asif and 24-year-old Warani Walid Katanat. Another Palestinian was injured in the assault. Witnesses said a large number of Israeli forces raided Kabatia and broke into several homes in the western neighborhood of the West Bank city. They violently searched the buildings and ransacked all properties before leaving. The Israeli forces then closed the main streets in the town while laying siege to a number of houses. The regime has stepped up attacks across the occupied territories over the past months. More than 100 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank so far this year.
The gun violence nightmare continues in the U.S. 8 people were shot and several others wounded by a gunman at a busy mall north of Dallas, Texas. The gunman, whom authorities said they believe acted alone, was killed by a police officer after he began firing outside of the mall. He was wearing tactical gear and carrying an AR-15-style rifle during the attack. One young eyewitness described the horrifying moments as the shooting unfolded, including the terrifying sounds of the gunfire, and she remains fearful that such an attack could reoccur.
When I heard it, it was like really loud. It kept going like, and what my dad heard, it was like a pling in a car. And then when we were running, the shots got closer to us, like really, really close. And I thought they were running towards us since we were all running around and there were more people running around us. I felt really scared because many people were running for their lives and some people didn't survive. Some got injured. I'm still feeling scared because it could happen to us at school. It could happen to us at another mall.
Reports say the social media accounts of the shooter contained hundreds of posts with racially or ethnically motivated content and violent far-right rhetoric. The reports say the Dallas attacker may have been linked to white supremacist or neo-Nazi groups. Texas Governor Greg Abbott called the shooting an unspeakable tragedy.
Texans are hurting today, and the people who are hurting the most, obviously, are the families of the victims, families who've lost a loved one, families who have a loved one who is injured.
Abbott also said there has been a dramatic increase in the amount of anger and violence that's taking place in America. He said mental health problems are the root cause and should be answered. Mass shootings have become commonplace in the United States. Since the beginning of 2023, more than 200 mass shootings have taken place in the country. Credible estimates show that nearly 15,000 people have died this year in gun violence incidents. In the wake of yet another mass shooting, U.S. President Joe Biden has called on Congress to pass gun control bills.
Yesterday, an assailant in tactical gear armed with an AR-15-style assault weapon gunned down innocent people in a shopping mall, and not for the first time. Such an attack is too shocking to be so familiar. We need more action, faster, to save lives.
The Democratic president renewed calls for Congress to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, as well as to enact universal background checks and end immunity for gun manufacturers. Biden, who has made similar pleas before, said members of Congress cannot continue to meet the gun violence epidemic with a shrug. However, there is little chance the narrowly divided House and Senate would pass such legislation, although polls show most Americans support background checks. The U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment protects the right to bear arms, and that issue is a hot-button one for many Republicans who are backed by millions in donations from gun rights groups and manufacturers.
We are not anti-gun. We're not against the Second Amendment. You know, we believe that we must restore the responsibilities that go along with gun rights. There are other peer nations, high-income countries, that have high rates of gun ownership but low rates of gun violence. Those two things can coexist. What we have that no peer nation has is this wealthy, powerful special interest that's been allowed to write our nation's gun laws.
Firearms outnumber the population in the United States, where victims of gun violence are higher than any developed country.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
او انقص منه قليلا او زد عليه ورتل القران ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقراني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك ارجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا احسان. ودعوتك ربي بقراني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى
عجل فرج.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are again, alhamdulillah, with brothers Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Ali Nasir, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome. How are you, Hussein?
Wa alaikum salam, how are you, sir?
Alaikum salam, alhamdulillah. How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Fawad Haider?
Alhamdulillah, sir, how are you?
That's great, alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir, how are you?
That's great. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 106 and Ayah 107 in Surah Ali Imran, page
63.
So, brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran, turn to page 63, Ayah 106 and 107. Let's listen, everyone.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون.
Amazing, amazing recitation. Allah Almighty bless, inshallah, the reciter. Now, listen up. We'll explain, inshallah, a bit about these two verses, and then we'll move on, inshallah, to the tajweed rules, step by step, inshallah, okay? Ayah by ayah, we'll move on, inshallah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 106 of Surah Ali Imran on page 63, يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون. In the next ayah, وأما الذين بيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون. It's these two verses are amazing, amazing. And I want to give you a very, very good news. Actually, not me. It's Allah Almighty who's giving a good news, okay, to you all. And all our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now. So what? Allah Almighty is comparing two groups of people. Two groups of people in the Day of Judgment. So Allah Almighty says about two groups of people in the Day of Judgment. What happens to them? Okay? So what does Allah Almighty says? Yawma, in the Day of Judgment. Yawma tabyaddu wujuhun. On the day when some faces, tabyaddu wujuh, some faces will turn white. It means some faces will be happy. Some faces will be happy. Tabyaddu wujuh. Wataswaddu wujuh. And some faces will turn black. They will be sad, grieving. They will be upset. Okay? Now Allah Almighty says, so what happens to those whose faces will turn black and whose faces will turn white? First group, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. And for those whose faces will turn black, it will be said to them, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Did you disbelieve after your faith? You had believed. You were Muslims. You were great. You were good people. أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Did you disbelieve after your faith? Then Allah Almighty says, then if you have done so, because you disbelieved, okay, you turned back from your religion after your faith, so test the punishment. فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Because of what you used to disbelieve. Now, the people whose faces will turn white. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. But as for those whose faces become white, right, what happens to them? Fafi rahmatillah, they shall dwell in joy in Allah's mercy. They will be there, okay? Hum fiha khalidun, and they will remain in it forever, eternal. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to Imam Ali alayhi salam, wa shi'atuka ala manabira fin nur mubyaddatan wujuhuhum. Their faces will be white, O Ali, your shi'a. Your followers will be having white faces there, hawli fil jannah, around me and heaven. This is good news for you. So, I want you, inshallah, to refer to the tafasir books, interpretations, inshallah, for more and learn about these things. Just that good news Allah Almighty gives you, okay? And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just gave you that news, okay? مُبْيَضَّةً وُجُوهُهُمْ حَوْلِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَهُمْ جِيرَانِي. O Ali, inshallah, okay?
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Now we'll move on, inshallah, with the tajweed rules. We'll mention some of them. Yawma. Tabyaddu wujuhun. Wujuhun has a tanween. Ha. Right? A tanween. After the tanween, we have what letter?
Wow.
So, for the tanween, Arnun Sakin, we have four different rules. And they are very, very important. Now, if you want to know how to apply or what rule you have to apply, there are many steps. First step, you have to look at the ayah and find the letter with the nun sakin or the tanween.
Yes.
After you found it, check the next letter.
Yes.
What is the next letter right after the tanween or nun sakin? Yeah?
Yeah.
Then when you found that letter, match it with one of the four groups of letters. Any letters. It matched any groups. It matched, okay? Apply the rule accordingly. Right? So, yes. We have four groups of letters. Yarmalun letters. Ya, Ra, Mim, Lam, Waw, Nun. These six letters are in one group.
Yes.
The rule Idgham is applied for them. Merging. The letter Ba. Ba. One letter. It's one group. And the rule Iqlab is applied. Changing the sound of Nun or Tanween into a hidden Mim sound. Yes. Third group, Idhar. Idhar group, yes? Hamza. Ha, Ha. Kha, Ayn, Ghain. These six letters are amongst the Idhar letters. So one group. So the rule Idhar is applied. It means whenever you see any of these letters after the Nun, Sakin, or Tanween, just don't apply any special rule. Just read it the way it is. Yanhauna. Yes?
Yes.
Yanhauna. Ha. So there is no special rule applied. Just read the noon sound or the tanween sound. That's it. And the rest of the letters will be for the rule ikhfa. You hide the sound. Any other letters, fa, ta, tha, jim, any other letters, not those three groups.
Yeah.
So you have to apply the rule ikhfa. You hide the sound of the tanween or noon sakin. So let's match them. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ Tanween plus waw. Waw matches?
Idgham letters.
Idgham letters. يَرْمَلُونَ waw. So you merge them. وُجُوهُ. That's it.
Yes.
وُجُوهُ. Plus nasal sound. Nasal two sound. Counts.
Yeah.
So يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. If you stop, the tanween changes to sukun. Wujuh. Right?
Yes.
That's it. So the rule idgham is applied here. Make sure the pronunciation of the letter ha, dad, they are important. Next one. So, Hassan, there is a tiny jim there. You see that?
Yes.
What does it say?
It says that you can stop or you can continue.
Good job. You can stop or continue. If you want to make a pause, make a pause. If you want to continue, you still have the breath, okay? With one breath, you can move on. Just move on. Next one. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ. before the letter Meem, also Meem Sakin, we had three special rules. For the letter Meem, we had Ikhfa of Meem, we had Idhahar of Meem, we had
Iqlab
of Meem. Are you sure? Idgham of Meem.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So if we have a Meem Sakin plus Meem, which has a harakat, so we do idgham, which is called
idgham mushaddad,
idgham mithlayn. Meem mushaddad is idgham mithlayn. Wa am fa am nasal sound. So fa ammal ladhina dhal iswaddat is the word iswaddat hamzatul wasl. When you read it together with the previous word, you skip hamzatul wasl, right?
Yes.
Fa ammal ladhi ladhi
nas
naswaddat, right? Wujuhuhum akafartum aha kafartum. You see that meme? Meme sakin? Yeah. I told you how many rules we have for meme sakin?
Three.
So, rule number one, idgham mithlay. You have meme plus meme.
Idgham. Yeah.
If you have meme sakin plus the letter ba,
ikhfa.
Here you ikhfa, mashallah. You hide the sound of meme. And if you have any other letters, not meme, not ba, any other letters,
idhar.
Just don't do anything. Just read the meme. Just move on. Okay?
Yes.
So here we apply the rule ikhfa. We hide the sound of meme. Akafarutum. Just do not let your lips touch. Say the meme, but not with lips touching. Right? Akafarutum ba'da imanikum. Look, imanikum. Meme sakin plus fa. Idhar. Nothing. Just move on. إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب. Merge them together. فذوقوا العذاب. همزة الوصل will be skipped. واو مد will be skipped. بما كنتم كنتم. نون ساكن. After نون ساكن, what do you have?
تا.
تا. تا matches what letters?
إخفاء.
إخفاء letters. Good job. Hide the sound of نون. فواد said كنتم.
كنتم.
Good job. ما شاء الله. بما كنتم تكفرون. When you end here, what do you do? Stretch it a bit. Yeah?
Yes.
مد العرض بسكون. Stretch it a bit. Good job. Next ayah. وأما الذين, again, ميم مشدد, right? الذين ابيضت, again, همزة الوصل will be skipped if you join them together. Yes. وأما الذين ابيضت. When you read it, aha. Ba has a sukun on the top, right, Hassan? What yes. do you do here?
Which one?
Ibiyadat. Wa amma alladhina biyadat. Aha.
Qalqala.
Qalqala. You echo, you pronounce it with an echoing sound. Wa amma alladhina biyadat. Nabiyadat. Right?
Yes.
So, wujuhuhum fafi rahmatillahi. Rahmatillah. Allah. The letter lam in the word Allah. Rahmatillahi hum fiha khalidu. That's it, okay? We got 1 minute to recite and practice with the tajweed rules. Ready?
Yes.
Brothers and
yes.
sisters, please practice with us now that we have mentioned the tajweed rules. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه
يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه
أحسنت أسود وجوه short vowels good job يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه Good job. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا
أحسن يا فذوقوا العذاب أوكي لسن فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون
فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون
وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون
وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون
أحسنت ما شاء الله الله بليس إن شاء الله صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم That's it ما شاء الله ما شاء الله So Alhamdulillah, we finished this session. Make sure, inshallah, you practice well. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools, Networks and Brothers here. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Immersion in the virtual world
Part 2
Searing graphic images, a cool and immersive universe where you are the hero. It's far from Mom and Dad's Pong, Tetris, and Super Mario. But today's video games are also about money. Lots of money. An industry that racks up $83 billion a year, according to some financial experts. That's more than the movies. To sell, what works is often used and abused. Sex, and especially violence. It stands out in big box stores. The most numerous and visible games are not recommended if you are under 18 years old. In the world of psychopaths or even soldiers, the idea is to lick the enemy. A vicious circle that is not always easy to escape. Mike is 19 years old with Swiss and American citizenship. He was immersed in FPS video games at a young age, first-person shooter games.
I've played games ever since I was a kid, really, with my friends, by myself, with my family, always. Back then, it was just, you know, a hobby that I would do for fun and something that, you know, I would, a common hobby that I would share with my friends. But then eventually it started getting to the point where I was depending on it emotionally.
Hours after the massacre, the New York journalist Matthew Lisiak was sent on site. He investigated Newtown for nearly 5 months.
In telling this story, it's not to glorify a killer. It's to try to understand why this happened. Because if we stop trying to really figure out why these things happen, we give up the future to the next killer. And I have four daughters. You know, I'm not prepared to let that happen.
Why does this massacre also interest us? Police quickly made a stunning discovery in Delanza's home. Bedroom windows covered with black plastic bags, a den full of arms and ammunition, but also computer screens, computer consoles, and video games.
There were things that we found in the literature review. We had people, we contacted scholars who were well-known in the field, asked them to send us recent studies we may not know or anything they thought that we should be aware of. And we just accumulated all of them and sorted through them all and scored them and read them and spent a lot of time evaluating them.
Dozens of studies from around the world. The most recent we could find. The very best of science in this field. The result?
The findings that we had were pretty consistent overall. We got an effect for overall aggression, so just everything, a composite score. Then we got effects for aggressive behavior, for thinking about aggression, for being roused by playing with aggressive video game content, for being desensitized to it, for being less empathic, less prosocial. So just an array of different findings that came out very consistently.
No proof that violent video games make you a killer, but there is a but, contrary to what many people think. They don't curb your frustrations.
That's wishful thinking, that you get your aggressive feelings out by playing games, because we find people get more aroused, not less aroused, and that they're thinking about aggression and they're acting aggressively and they're less empathic and they're less prosocial. So they're not draining off aggressive impulses. That's just not happening by game playing in terms of anything that we saw in the data.
These scientific conclusions are shared by numerous experts in Switzerland, too, and even players notice it. Not easy to remain calm in certain online games when the goal is to shoot others dead. More complicated, however, is recognizing that this violence also affects oneself.
I think people don't want to believe that it has an effect on them, but it does. I mean, if you look at the data and if you look at the studies, there are consistent and persistent effects of using violent video games on a number of dimensions of human functioning. The science is the science. The data speak for themselves, and we looked at the data very carefully across large numbers of studies. So I think that was part of why we are convinced that it is a risk factor. But it's not going to affect everybody in the same way, and that's probably why some people say, well, it didn't affect me at all.
To reach all its conclusions, the American meta-analysis integrates many lab tests, like these conducted in Grenoble. This experiment compares the level of aggressiveness between two players without them knowing it. One plays a game that is brutal, the other a sports game, for example. Researchers analyzed the heartbeat, measuring the intent to hurt the other by inflicting sound shocks and evaluating the aggressive thoughts of each player. Again, it's very clear. Violent content increases aggressiveness. In a nutshell, the more you kill virtually, the more real harm done. And a video game is not exactly a movie, according to this professor of social psychology. Return to Switzerland in the canton of Bern. A little tour in this ordinary school courtyard where we quickly understand that our little darlings don't just play pacifist games, quite the contrary. Roland Nayev has been working in this school for 30 years and elected socialist for 20 years. For him, reality and fiction are increasingly intertwined, and he is convinced in certain cases that virtual violence may even lead to taking action. Some players will cry scandal. Taking action is obviously a point that makes for polemics. And rightly so, it's difficult to have scientific proof. The desire to know more sent us back to Connecticut. 4 years after the massacre, we went to Sandy Hook. With this question in the firing line, why? What's striking coming here is the apparent calm and the willingness to forget this fatal December the 14th, 2012. In Newtown's rich neighborhoods, the home of the young gunman was totally razed. 5 kilometers from there, the elementary school too. The bricks were pulverized to leave no trace. New school is still under construction.
Another friend referred to Adam as a shut-in. His mental health issues, combined with his military ambitions, his gaming habit, and a dramatic decline in any form of social interaction had caused the young man to withdraw further and further from reality. Even the shooting range was barely appealing. The months leading up to the shooting, he almost spoke to nobody. He just stayed in his room, playing violent video games, occasionally would go to the mall where he would play Dance Dance Revolution, hours on end. And he was plotting this, but he was kind of falling further and further into a state of what experts refer to as psychosis. It's just like the connection he had with reality, which we all have when largely from interactions, we talk to other people. He had none of that. There were no lines. He wouldn't even talk to his mom towards the end. Completely cut her off. So his mom would communicate with Adam through emails.
An evil plunge into the virtual, confirmed by experts from the Child Protective Services of Connecticut.
I mean, I think it was the sense of everybody who looked at the documents that we looked at, conversations with the FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit, a debriefing by them, absolutely living in this parallel universe was extraordinarily unhealthy.
Her office had access to the young killer's medical report, to his academic records, and also to the confidential reports of the police and the FBI. It also comes to light that Adam Lanza had dangerous predispositions.
Certainly there is a sense he was on the autism spectrum disorder. There's a larger sense that he had very significant interfering obsessive compulsive disorder, not a kind of global interest, but only things that he wanted to learn about. And there was enormous acquiescence on his family's part to that. Not sort of pushing him or, you know, trying to get him to expand his horizons or, in fact, seek significant treatment as he became more and more and more isolated and withdrawn to then seek some help for him.
But was he a violent kid?
There was nothing that we saw in his record to indicate that he was a violent child.
Isolation, addiction to violent video games, mental vulnerability, poor parental support. The eye of a storm capable of destroying everything in its path due to one last risk factor. In this case, easy access to weapons.
And here's a boy that's not going out and doing anything but has access to an arsenal of weapons in his home because it's the thing he expressed interest in. And that's part of the parental appeasement. Oh, that's what you're interested in? That's the only thing you're interested in? Okay, we'll buy you more of those. That's not what he needed. He needed mental health treatment. He needed friends. He needed relationships. He needed his father. He needed his brother. And he didn't have any of that in his life anymore.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up,